Welcome to the Round 5 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day mate, footy is back this week.
Yep, this show will come out just as footy kicks off, so gets you right in the mood for things. And thank you to those of you on social media who asked us questions. We had huge response on Facebook this week especially, so thank you guys. It's going to be a pretty long show, so rapid fire style. That way we can get to most of the players.
So many good options to talk about.
And that's why we've put it in early, right after the midfield comes these attractive forwards. So just before we get into it again, run through the preseason schedule. Next week we're going into the Rucks, then we're going to have a halfway recap of the NAB series, then we're going to look to the back line, and then a final recap of the NAB series once all the games are done, and then one full recap of the entire preseason, final thoughts heading into round one. So that's the remaining schedule.
Did you say Rucks next week?
Rucks next week, Mark.
Damn, I'm going to have to do some work because that is a tough show every year.
And normally that's the last show because it's so tough, but the back line is even more of a headache this year. So it's a very challenging year this year, but makes it more interesting for super coaches who are big into strategy, throws up something different. So hopefully we get a bit of an edge through all this research.
Yeah, exactly.
On social media, just remember you can connect with us on facebook.com/supercoachcoach and at supercoachcoach. And we just wanted to announce that we've hit 1,500 Facebook fans.
Woohoo!
So that's really, really awesome. And we're actually really close to 3,000 Twitter followers as well. So as a bit of a reward to our community, we're just going to do a giveaway promotion on Facebook.
Giveaway?
Yeah, giveaway, Mark. And it's going to be an AFL live pass. So it's worth about $80, just a small prize, but you know, it gives you full access to all the games for the season. So
can I win it?
Yeah. We won't pick you, but the competition will be posted on Facebook once we get to 3,000 Twitter followers. As we record this, we're only about 30 away, so look out for that and good luck. Just before we jump in, one last thing, ranked leagues, open leagues. You can find that on supercoachcoach.com.au together with our Supercoach group and the veterans applications. So jump straight into it now, Mark. Better not waste any more time.
That's right.
All right, on to the follow-up question from last week. So we had one question relating to last week's show, Mark, and fair enough too. I think we actually got a couple of comments on Twitter as well for not mentioning this guy. Grant Haley's asked why we decided to skip over Matt Prittis last week. So I did ask whether we should put him on the run sheet, and look, we probably should have anyway because he was a Brownlow medalist, and now we've got these follow-up questions.
Brownlow.
Yeah, why didn't you think he was worthy of consideration last week, Mark?
I just don't see that he's got upside from his current price. I think that he has been a really good pick when you've been able to pick him up cheap during the season, and had a really good back end last year and has posted some really good scores over the course of the years, but I just wouldn't like paying $600,000 for him.
Yeah, he's really consistent, but that means that he doesn't fluctuate in price very much, and he's not going to punish you very much as well. It's unlikely he's going to go 150, 150, 150, and you go, damn, I should have started with Prittis. So that's another reason probably not to start him as well. I think, you know, when you picking your starting midfielders, you want to go with somebody like Fife, Pendlebury, guys that actually have the potential to go 140 multiple times in a row and really get you off to a firing start. So that's why we didn't touch on him, but the questions were fair enough because, you know, reigning Brownlow medalist, and he probably doesn't deserve to be snubbed. He probably deserves to be at least mentioned. So yeah, that's why we didn't pick him though.
We're always going to miss out on players in order to get actually through these podcasts, or otherwise we'd be talking for days.
We do have to try and race through the topic. So onwards quickly then, Mark. To the forward line, finally, we'll get onto the show now. Robbie Gray, first guy off the ranks, 596,000, highest averaging forward for last year, available again in the forward line, even though he's getting a lot of midfield points now. We always saw his potential, and last year he actually fulfilled that, and there's no reason, as long as he can stay on the park, that he won't be a good pick again this year. That's where I'm kind of at on Robbie Gray. It's just that he's a lot of money to pay. Is he in your consideration, Mark?
I think at the start of the preseason, he probably wasn't, because he does appear to be very much overpriced, but he is in my consideration. He can just go huge. I wonder whether he cops a bit more attention this year after going so big last year and potentially being the most damaging Port midfielder. Given his injury history, I think it's probably too difficult to pay that much money for him, but he's definitely within consideration, and I can see why people would pick him because there's a really good chance that he would be the top averaging forward over the course of the year again.
Yeah. There are a lot of players in Supercoach, Mark, that whether you pick them or not, it's probably not going to dictate how your season goes because there's a decent alternative, similarly priced, who's going to average not too different from the player that you actually picked. But there are players in Supercoach that can define a season, you know. Chapman averaging 115. Robbie Gray is one of those players. If he averages 120 to start the season, even if he gets injured halfway through and you have to trade him out, you will be decimated by not having him. And that's a very big plus on his side.
He was a huge advantage to coaches that took him last year. Probably does have a potential higher upside than any of the other forwards available. So from that perspective, I can see why people would pick him. It's just, he's probably got a lot of similarities to Chappie, really, in the sense that pretty big durability concerns, but a big ability to go on huge runs as well. So, yeah, I think that there's a fair bit of risk associated with it. It could go the other way. You could just overpay significantly for him, and I mean, he could cop way more attention or get injured. So it's a pretty high-risk pick.
With these high-risk picks, though, it is worth noting that it is better to start them off in your teams right from the get-go, because if they are injury prone, at least you ride the highs and you don't risk trading a player in because he's averaging 120 only to have him get injured a few rounds later and not enjoy the full benefit of Robbie Gray. So I do like to start high risk players rather than trade them in throughout the season, so that's also another thing to think about. Having said that, it costs a lot of money, and I don't think anybody's locked him into their teams yet.
He's been in some of my drafts, though.
Yep, certainly has been in mine as well. Next guy, second highest averaging forward, drops to 107.7, Brent Harvey. And the drop off to the next highest averaging forward is 102.9, which is Brett Delidio. So, you know, he's a clear big second, difference. Mark. Yep, obviously.
Don't think he'll be a clear second at the end of this year, though.
Okay, so you think age will finally catch up with him?
Age, and there's probably a little bit more depth at North this year than there was even last year.
That's fair cause. Less and less tag attention, you would assume. Wells back too. That could certainly affect his scoring and see him continue to average that amount. He's a high-risk pick, and based on his age, I think he's harder to pick. But I don't want to underestimate him again because he averaged 108 last year. That's insane. I can't believe it, really, looking at it right now. He did really well.
Certainly surprised everyone. At that price, I'd rather pick Robbie Gray, though.
Mm-hmm. Brett Delidio, next guy, 103. Now, we've heard that a little bit of a setback in the preseason. Do you know what that news is, Mark?
So he had Achilles trouble last year, which affected his output and sort of started off the season really, really slowly before coming home pretty strong. And as far as I understand, they've just managed him over the summer. It's an ongoing issue, some Achilles soreness, so they've maybe held him back a little bit, and probably something that's going to have to be managed throughout this year as well. With that said, I think he was having issues with it in the second half of last year and averaged over 100 on the run home. So very, very high quality player. Could easily average 110 or even more over the course of the season if he can remain fit. His durability before last year was insane. I don't think he missed a game for like 6 years. So I think he's the sort of player that'll probably play through the injury. Without that injury, he would be an obvious pick. With the injury, he's probably still a very, very relevant pick. And I reckon he'll have a pretty high selection this year.
He's, I reckon, a lock for the top six forwards. So based on that and the fact that he has upside, yeah, no need to say much more than that. And being in and out of my team, hopefully consolidates on the preseason and puts the injury behind him. Next guy, Jimmy Bartel, 102.1. Last year, moved to the forward line. This year, Geelong, going to play Bartel more in the midfield because they reckon that they need more of the experience back in that midfield. We started to lose a lot of the ball in there last year. So Bartel, back in the midfield, 102.1. Lost the mid-forward eligibility. Do you reckon he's worthy of consideration this year?
Sure, 31 years old, but serious quality. And when he did play in the midfield last year, he really destroyed it. Had some really big games in him. It's just when he plays the roles for the team as a defender or a forward that sometimes he can probably go missing as far as scoring goes. Pretty good durability. I haven't seen him in very many teams. There's not a whole lot of reasons not to pick him except potentially age and maybe he's close to fully priced. But although if he plays full-time in the midfield for the year, he could average 110. I just haven't seen him in many teams. He doesn't seem like a terrible pick. And what are your thoughts? You'd probably know better than me, mate, being a Geelong supporter.
underrated because of his age and because of the fact that he can be thrown around a lot, but he definitely has that potential to average 110. If he stays in the midfield for the entire year, I mean, that's the main question. If Geelong get an injury somewhere, will he get shifted around? If they're committed to putting him in the midfield for the entire year, you would think that everybody would probably start Jimmy Bartel. I don't really see him dropping from 102, and he's a really skillful player, and the things that make him great, his ability to read the game and get into good spot, I don't think that that's really going to necessarily change too much with age. I'm a Geelong supporter, so, you know, it's biased, but I think he's one of those players that will continue playing good footy for a little while yet.
Similar kind of pick, Brendan Goddard from the Bombers. I think that they play similar roles for the sides, that they sort of go where they're needed at the time, and Goddard spends a bit of time up forward at times and in the back line, and he can also be a pure midfielder as well. Sort of similar ages, Goddard that just that little bit younger. Their scoring histories are actually really similar. Their durability histories are actually really similar. Who do you have edging out in that contest?
I think Goddard probably edges Bartel out a little bit because of the mid-forward eligibility and the fact that he's younger, and that there's probably a little bit less concern about his role. Bartel can be put into roles sometimes that are just a true utility role, whereas Goddard, he gets put into positions where their utility, but their utility in the fact that they need a dangerous player that can execute by foot or have an impact. Basically, he's always in a position where he can have an impact. So it's either on the half forward flank scoring goals or in the midfield, or, you know, floating down back and picking up some nice loose posies. So I think in that respect, Goddard's probably a little bit more attractive to me. I had him for last year, and even though he was a little bit disappointing in the finish, there was a period where I was quite happy to pen him in for 110. He struggles a bit with Watson out of the side, and there are a few things that went against him last year together with Essendon just imploding at the end there. But if Essendon make a good run for the top eight this year, Goddard probably score pretty well and can push 110 as well.
I've had Goddard in most of my drafts, whereas I haven't had Bartel, so I guess I agree with that.
Next guy, Buddy Franklin. Now, we have mentioned him when we're talking about the key position forward, so we won't really go over him too much. Nothing has really changed, I assume, Mark.
Talk that he's been managed over the preseason. I think we mentioned that last time, though, but also talk that we maybe haven't seen the best of Buddy, and at times last year you could say that he was playing the best footy of his career and has another level to go to, so that'll be something interesting to watch this year. Mm-hmm. Fairly high risk, high reward player.
Next guy we're going to talk about is Dusty Martin. He's averaged 99.5 last year, but we've talked for a long time now that he has the potential to be 105, 110, maybe 115 averaging midfielder. Do you think this year's the year?
Sixth season, you think that if it's going to happen, it'll probably happen about now or the following year. And I think a lot depends on the Tigers' form. If they're winning games, a bit like Deledio and Cochin, their average is going to be significantly higher. The main problem with Deledio in the past has been his tank. You can get 25 possessions and 3 goals in the first half and then you don't see him for the rest of the game. There's talk that he's increased his tank over the summer, but I mean, obviously being his weakness, you'd expect them to be talking about that. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get a really good read on that. I'd be a bit worried about relying too much on preseason form with him, because it seems like he could sort of not get a lot of attention in the preseason and destroy a game, and I really want that to sway me. I actually find it a bit difficult to decide between him and Deledio. I think that they're probably fighting for a spot in my side. I'd be a bit reluctant to start both of them, although I would like to start Martin and I'd like to start Deledio. I probably just wouldn't start both together.
I've had seasons, Mark, where one of the main rules for which I was picking my team is what is their potential to be an explosive player and be a must-have player in Supercoach. Martin certainly beats out Deledio, Bartel and Goddard, I reckon, in that regard. That's probably why I probably like him a little bit more than the other guys at this point. He's also a bit cheaper.
Right, so you actually have Martin ahead of Deledio.
Before the Achilles, I gotta admit, I had already penned Deledio into my team because I just see him averaging 110 as a response to last season. He has been interviewed a couple of times and he does sound a bit annoyed about his performance last year. So I think if he's firing fit, that he's a fair lock. But in terms of Martin being a player that you don't want to lose out on, he probably has a little bit of that edge ahead of Deledio. So it's not necessarily one or the other for me. I think it's do I pick Deledio, yes or no, and then do I lock in Martin or do I let him slide because there's a more attractive option that's perhaps a bit cheaper. So we'll move on quickly to Dane Zorko now. Averaged 99 last year. I'm assuming that with Beams coming in, that's a bit of a red flag for him. Always been a bit of a risky play as well. Has his ebbs and flows. Probably not a guy to start off with is my two cents. How about you, Mark?
I'm actually pretty reluctant to start any of these Brisbane midfielders, just given the uncertainty with Beams arriving and Hanley being injured about who's going to be playing what role, how's the team going to gel, is it going to be players stealing points off each other? They're all sort of at interesting stages of development. So there's not a whole lot of reason why you can't just have a wait and see on most of these guys.
Next couple of guys that we're going to talk about, we've got a question from Tim or Scramit on Twitter. Thoughts on Rioli and Ruffett as forwards this year? Is Rioli worth touching given his injury risk? So Rioli's at 497 after an average of 92.5 last year, and Ruffett 514 after an average of 95.8 last year. Had both these guys in my team last year, Mark, and based off that and their poor performances, I haven't really looked too closely at them throughout the preseason with all the other attractive options, but certainly Rioli is a player with that explosive potential and is somebody who has to be in consideration because of that potential.
Last year, we probably both took Rioli against our better judgment because he was a high-risk, high-return sort of player.
Yeah.
There was good reasons for doing so. We got burnt last year. We probably wouldn't take the same risk 2 years in a row, I wouldn't have thought. The reasons why we picked him last year are still there. I could see why someone would do it. He is a match winner. The fact that he was injured again last year, you would think that Hawthorn are just going to have to keep him out of the midfield. It's just happened too many times now that he's just never, ever going to be able to be a midfielder, I guess. Alternatively to that, he could have a Robbie Gray season and just completely overcome it and average 110, which is exactly why we picked him last year. I just can't see myself doing it again.
Ruffhead's a little bit more interesting, but I think the fact that he doesn't really get those ruck points anymore means that the days of him being an ultra premium in terms of a forward liner are over, because Franklin's gone. He seems to be a bit more stay at home and therefore has those ebbs and flows that key position forwards do, and that seems to take him down a little bit.
I completely agree. I haven't really had Ruffy in my team very much in the past, and I just think that there's probably too many good midfielders available as forward this year that there's not really too many reasons to be picking a key position player.
All right, next guy from a question on Twitter, Luke Wentworth, wants to know about Harley Bennell. We've already talked about him, Mark, and I'm keen as a bean. I might even lock him ahead of Swan. Not after Swan dominated the intra-club, obviously.
What did you just say?
But, you know, I love his upside. He's averaged 95 3 years in a row. In fact, averaged 96.7 and 97.2 in the year 2 years past. So he's at an all-time low in a three-year span, Mark. Ready to explode onto the scene, and did well in his intra-club. Maybe second best on ground or best on ground, something like that. So he doesn't really have to do much to make my team at this stage, I think, Mark. So maybe you should give a more considered opinion.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan as well, but I'm certainly not going to talk him up after you've gone that far in his direction. The main concerns with Bennell is that there's a whole bunch of other players that are really, really good picks too, and you can only pick so many of them. So although I'm a huge fan of Harley Bennell and I really, really want him in my team because he's so exciting, he actually hasn't been in most of my drafts just because I've got a full quota.
Boo. He's bigger. So exciting.
You said the words, bigger lock than Swan. talking about these young boys being attractive and it's worrying me.
All right, Mark, we'll move on quickly. Luke Talhouse, Jacob Combe on Facebook asked about him. So what do you reckon? We have seen him in patches actually be a really, really good option, but it's a little bit of inconsistencies and the fact that he is a semi-small forward, even though he does get to venture into the midfield. Do you think that he can break out and establish himself as a 100 averaging midfielder? This will be his fifth season.
Huge potential. And up till round 17 last year, he was averaging about 100 and then just had a pretty poor finish to the year where he didn't score over 90 in the last six rounds. It'll be interesting to see how he's used by the new coach down at the Doggies, whether he does get a little bit more extra midfield time, although they've got a few youngsters that'll probably want some time in there. So you'd expect him to probably play a fair bit up forward and cop the best small defender for most teams, which probably limits his scoring a little bit. He can go on hot patches. He's an important player. I probably just don't see as much upside in him as I do some of the other forwards. It's no knock on him. It's just that there's so much competition up forward this year that I haven't really seriously considered Luke Dalhouse.
Takes a really special player to break out in a team that's not winning many games. It truly does. And so when I'm looking for breakout players, I like to look at the team that they come from as well. And from that perspective, that's why I haven't considered him. Next guy, Justin Westhoff, averaged 91 last year, but has averaged 98.4 the season prior. When he's playing that, you know, valuable role where he swings around the ground and can kick goals as well, scores quite well when he can do that. Do you think Port Adelaide, you know, if they come first or second this year, which they look like they're a decent chance to, he can average 100?
I think he probably could get around that mark. I mean, he's a pretty popular player, Westhoff. I think most fans out there like him because just the way he can contribute to a game and kick a bunch of goals quickly, or such a tall player run through the midfield. And with Ryder coming on board, maybe he's going to have a bit more freedom this year. Port's hard draw probably makes me a bit wary of him. I do expect them to win a lot of game, but Westhoff probably beats up on the weaker sides a bit more than some of the other players at Port, so that's just got me a little bit wary. He can go on huge, huge rushes. If they had weak opposition early, then he could get up in price really quickly, but they don't, so that's probably the only reason he's not in consideration for me.
Those are fair points. I think he shouldn't be underestimated, but having said that, the midfield forwards are probably a little bit more attractive than the swing talls. Next player, Alan Christensen. Sam Fiery asks about him. So Faz, he's in Hong Kong at the moment having a little holiday, but you'll come on for a guest stint. Gets back on, Mark. What do you reckon about Alan Christensen? Averaged 90.6 in the 8 few games that he played for Geelong last year. Of course, that's after very, very interrupted preseason and season. Averaged 92.7 in his career best year. His trajectory, 66, 80, and then 93, suggests that if he has an injury-free preseason, and by all reports, he's going well so far, he could be a guy that averages 100. Contested beast, and for a small player, really knows how to collect some points.
Probably same answer as Zorko, though. Really, we're just not sure what role he's going to have this year, and he might sleep with someone's girlfriend and get evicted from the team.
Claws come out, yep. I'm not going to pick him after he left Geelong, but also not going to pick him because of the reasons you stated there, Mark. So next guy, Dane Swan, talked about him already. Mark's...
Lockety lock lock.
Yeah, he doesn't even want me to question his lock status, so that's where we're at with him. We'll move on to Scott Goranson's question, and he's asking about Jack Zeeble. Is he too risky, he's asking. $449,000 is his starting price. Averaged 83.6 last year. Averaged 95.2 the year before, which was his career high, and talk about Zeeble being an elite talent for a long time. Suspension history is god awful, but apart from that, I do quite like him, and I talked him up. We have talked about him before earlier on in the preseason.
Sure, he was in my first draft, so he was in my team for quite a bit, and then I cooled on him a little bit. I think one of the reasons being that if he was going to be a pure midfielder, then he should easily average the 95 to 105, but there was talk that they probably want to use him a bit more as a forward last year, and they did do that in a lot of games, and he had a bit of success. I think he kicked 4-5 against Adelaide in round 22, and also played forward against the Bombers in the elimination final. So I think that role probably limits his scoring capacity a little bit. Definitely has the talent to average 100, so presents a ton of value at his price. I can see why people are picking him. My personal interest has just cooled a little bit.
Mine too, actually, Mark, but he's certainly high on my watch list, and he's been in at least half of my draft team, so I guess that means I don't think he's too risky. To answer Scott's question, Stephen Motlop, next guy, Geelong player, so maybe you should start on him. Just read his stats, 81.9 in his All-Australian nomination year, and then last year, 80.8.
So that's probably not enough. You'd really be hoping for 95 plus, which is a huge jump on what he's shown in the past. But potentially with Christensen leaving, there might be a role a little bit further up the field for him. Huge talent, and I really just hope he stays fit because he's good for the AFL. He is an exciting player, except for after what he did to the Bombers last year in that last quarter where he faked an injury and then we took Hocking off him and managed to kick 3 last quarter goals. Except for that, he's awesome talent and we love him, and I just don't think he's overly Supercoach relevant.
Gotta admit, I love the guy because he's single-handedly pulled my girlfriend to the footy. She loves watching Stephen Motlop, and she didn't really enjoy footy too much before that, so thank you to Stephen Motlop. I think his career trajectory, it should be noted, he started off very injury prone at the start. He did his shoulders and had troubles coming on the park. His first season, he played full games. He averaged 61 and he had a tiny frame. He was a tiny guy running around. Next year, 81.9, All-Australian nomination. Last year, he had a really, really, really poor preseason. He came back only in round 7 and he's not a guy that is going to be able to really rebound very well from a poor preseason. He still averaged 80, so he still maintained his average from the year before, but I certainly think he has the potential to improve. Having said that, there's so many attractive options this year that unless he has a banging preseason, he's not a guy that you'll necessarily have to look at all. Next guy, Taylor Walker, Adelaide, 430,000. Had questions about him actually as a follow-up to our key position forward show because we didn't mention the big Tex Walker, but...
Sure, we probably should have.
Mm-hmm, has averaged 100 in the past.
New captain, mate. They're talking that he's going to be a leader like Carey, which is talking him up a little bit. The reason why I didn't pick him last year was that I thought it would take a year to come back from his injury and he'd need a year before he got back to full form. So, I think that there's a really good chance that he will come back to full form this year. And as we suggested previously, I'm probably not going to be picking any key forwards, but at 430,000, he does seem to present a lot of value and could easily average 100 again. So I can see why people would be going there.
I like Taylor Walker, but maybe it's an incorrect impression because I haven't actually looked at his scores, but I feel like he has less potential to be really explosive because I don't know how many contested marks he gets. And I think some really huge games coming out of either kicking huge bags of goals, which is pretty hard to predict, or when a Travis Cloak or a Tom Hawkins can kick 6 goals, but also get 4 or 5 contested marks, because those are worth a lot of points as well. Sometimes you have key positions forwards kick a lot of goals but not be able to score huge points. So I prefer a slightly more explosive key position forward. But having said that, I haven't looked at his stats as closely, so maybe I'm wrong in that regard. But I think Taylor Walker is a bit of a guy who can average 100 most weeks rather than the guy who, you know, really breaks out with huge scores. Because I'm looking at his 2012 year, 154 game. His next biggest was 135. So that's not quite as explosive as I would like. Next guy, Patrick Hasnip has asked about him. Chad Wingard. Really let me down last year. He averaged 98.3 in his second year, though.
Could average the same again. Got a lot more attention last year, and I'd expect the same to happen this year. I think that there has been some discussion about injury concerns this preseason. So although given the way his average jumped from 98 to 80, I think that there's enough concern there that he's not really in my consideration.
Don't like the role that he's in at all. Next guy, true. Marcus Bontempelli, 422,000.
Yeah,
runner up for the...
Ripped off.
Yeah, runner up for the Rising Star last year. One of the most touted youngsters, super potential. We've seen him do crazy things from close to the goal line already and going to be a player to look out for years to come. But in terms of a Supercoach selection mark, 80 last year puts him at already a very expensive price point. Do you think he can make that step up straight away?
Yes, I do think it's potential that he could make the step up straight away, but there's a few factors here. It's his second season. It's always a really, really good rule not to pick a player in their second season, even if they do really well. They're unlikely to jump up to full elite status and you'll get burnt more often than not. So the risk value is not normally there. Plus what you discussed about the Doggies potentially not having access to as many points as some of the other teams out there. Look, I do think he has the potential to make the jump up straight away and he could average 100 and play mainly midfield in his second season. But that's a could, and I think there's other players are even around the same price that are probably more likely to do so.
He's one of those mid-prices that even though they seem like they're likely to break out, can still take a while. Dangerfield took a while, and you don't want to be on the Bonts train 4 years in a row or 3 years in a row because he's struggling to break out in a young team.
Yeah.
Next player, Dale Thomas, mentioned him before. We were a little bit colder because we've been burnt, but a little bit of time has passed, and midfielder in the forward line, I have picked him for a lot more. Thinking about him again on my watch list, unfortunately.
Same here, mate. Just a couple of weeks to think about it has allowed us to be open to the possibility again. I think that the thing that concerns me is in 9 seasons, he's played 22 games twice, which is not amazing. And he's actually only averaged over 100 once. That was 109, so it was huge. but only over 100 once is not amazing from nine seasons. does present a ton of value at his price, and I just want to be there when he does it again.
Sounds like a bad breakup. This really does. He's a real puzzle for me this year, but I'll keep my eye on him. Next guy, Tom Mitchell, Mark, 405,000. Averaged 75 last year. Some people picked him ahead of Luke Parker. We did not recommend that. By the way,
we
guys,
did not.
We were very clear on that one, which we got right.
We did get that one. Yep. Right. Yeah.
Do you think he can do it this year, though? There's already talk that they want Tom Mitchell to play more time in the midfield this year. Last year, trade restrictions in place. They lost Malcheski. They need to really promote from within now with their old group as well. I think he'll get a real chance to shine this season. And in his first year, average 86. He's an absolute ball magnet. This is a guy who's got 50-plus possessions, albeit in a pretty poor Neefel game. He'll be in many teams.
Listening to your opinions on these forwards throughout the show, you've either got six young guys in your forward line or just picking heaps and heaps of premiums. I would have thought that Tom Mitchell would be at the top of the list of the young guys, but I'm guessing he's a bit behind Bennell for you.
I can understand most people having him ahead of Bennell, though.
Yeah, he has been in my side since day one. I actually have not had a team without Mitchell in it. I think that Mitchell is potentially interchangeable with Daisy, but yeah, I'm going to call it this one and say potentially McVeigh might go back to cover Malcheski's role a bit, and that opens a spot in the midfield, and Mitchell will grab it with both hands. I think that if you're looking for the cheap, big breakout player this year, then Mitchell is the man that you want. My biggest concern is probably his injury history. I know he's got through his first full preseason, that is. He has broken down in the past, but I just think that if he's fit going into round one, absolute lock for my team.
He does really look like that candidate to be, you know, the Luke Parker, the steel side bottom, the Patrick Dangerfield of this year, that midfield forward that steps out into the midfield and truly breaks out. And they're all guys that you don't want to miss out on. And so from that perspective, very, very attractive.
Just keep in mind that he will probably post pretty big numbers in the preseason. But last year in the preseason, he did have a game over 150 and wasn't able to secure a spot in the Sydney side for most of last year. So preseason numbers can be a bit deceiving sometimes.
Travis Cloak, I know you don't really want to talk about him too much, and we have talked about him.
Is this the third time we've talked about him?
Just putting him on the run sheet, I'm still considering him. Needs a big preseason, but has that beast mode potential. He can really just bang out huge scores. Next guy, Taylor Adams, his teammate. Now, we had quite a few questions about Taylor Adams from Facebook.
Surely that's the influence of Paige.
Mark, don't be casting those dispersions. 380,000. He's like Josh Caddy. We have talked about Josh Caddy, and we talked about him in the midfield. So, you know, I can understand that same attraction. He is in that same mold, except in the forward line. Averaging 70 last year for his first year for Collingwood. I haven't actually looked at him, so that call before was probably right. But what do you reckon, Mark?
I can see that the reasons are there. I mean, Collingwood have lost some key midfielders, so there's going to be a position open. They invested heavily in getting Adams, and he's entering his fourth season with a great pedigree to be a midfielder. So look, I can see all the reasons are there. I don't really see him averaging over 90. If he's in competition with Mitchell and even potentially Daisy, I probably have them two ahead of him. I can see him playing a valuable role for the Pies this season and improving his average by 20 points. But is that going to be enough to be a premium in the forward line, considering how much competition there is? Probably have my doubts on that one. But I mean, there are a few reasons why people are asking questions about him.
I think in a year where we have less options in the forward line, he's certainly a guy that you put the microscope on and you try and look for something there. But this year, there's no real reason to do that. There's players at his price point or just a little bit above that are worth splashing out for. Josh Kelly, GWS player, played his first season last year, averaging 68 and available in the forward line this year. So he's one of those players, you know, we talked about second year player being a potential danger and red flag point, but Josh Kelly, he probably is in that Crouch, O'Meara, Wine sort of level in terms of talent and potential, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the biggest concern with Kelly would be that they've got a lot of talent up there at the Giants, and I would think that being his second season, from what we've seen with the other Giants, they're pretty keen to just manage them through that second season. So there might be a couple of sub-vests, maybe a couple of rested games, because they're really aiming to get these players ready for when they're making a push into the finals. And that could happen this year, but it's probably unlikely. So they're really aiming for the following year for Kelly and getting the development into him. So he is a very special talent and he could average quite well. Will he average 100 and will he play 22 games? I'd probably say that's unlikely.
Agree with you and not really on my radar yet. So that probably wraps up a pretty large selection of the forwards, Mark. We've gone through a fair few of them. We have had a question about forward ruck options, but because the rucks, we have less options to talk about there, we're going to save those forward ruck options for the ruck show. So being a fairly long show already, we won't go into those. So Paddy Ryder, Lysette, Bell Chambers, and we'll look at them then. But we've got a question from David Siddles to round out the premiums that we've talked about and a few of the mid prices. Yeah. What are your top four above 400k for starting teams? I would expand that to just of the guys we talked about, Mark, and most of them are 400k plus. Who are the guys that you actually like? I also want to ask, do you think it's worth paying the extra money to pay for a forward that has already averaged 100 this year? So those are Zorko and up, or are you more looking toward the players that are averaging 90 that can take that step up into the premium category, considering we have so many options up forward this year?
That's a lot to consider. I think that realistically my premium forwards are between Deledio, Goddard, Martin. They're probably the three main ones fighting for a spot. Robbie Gray's sort of in and out a little bit. Swan I have as an absolute lock, and then I'm looking at probably taking one of the cheaper guys. At the moment, it's very much Tom Mitchell. I could see why you could take two. You could make a case for Zeeble and Mitchell, for example, or Thomas and Mitchell, but then who goes out? So it really depends on what structure you're using. If a few forward rookies come up, then I'll probably only be taking four or at most five forward premiums. So with Swan taking one of them and Mitchell taking one of them, you've only got a couple of spots left, and Goddard and Deledio are probably the favourites to be filling them. So there's about eight players I want to pick that I'd love to have Harley Bennell in the side. Yeah. I really genuinely would, but there's just really, really strong competition for spots. I think you need to structure your team up a little bit based on where the rookies are available. So taking that into consideration, I probably are going to have to refine it down to just a couple, and I'm going to have to leave out players that I'd rather include.
Of the forwards that are expensive, the only two that I really like are Gray and Martin, because I think they have real breakout potential. Deledio, Bartel, and Goddard obviously have the potential to step it up, but I don't think they'll punish you as much. And if I'm looking to pay top dollar, I'm looking to pay top dollar because I'm wanting them to average really up and over what they're already doing. Not because any of these guys are poor options, but because we have so many good options just a little bit below that at the 400k range. So my eyes are keenly on the Swan, the Thomas, the Mitchell types. You know me, I love the value, Mark. So Zeeble, even Westhoff. Bennell's obviously locked to my team. So I'm actually looking more toward the value range in the mid forwards this year. So next question that we're going to look at is also regarding structure, Mark, and you did touch on it. The question is from Peter Olm, and we also had quite a bit of discussion on Twitter about it as well. Question is, given the number of forward rookies this year, should we be loading up on them and going for premiums in the midfield instead? So where do you think we should be drawing the balance this year? Where should we draw the line?
I guess the other pressure that's in there is that there's not really any back rookies that are demanding to be put on the ground, so I can foresee a lot of sides starting without any rookies on the ground in the back line. So even though you're going to go some mid prices back there, it does put a little bit of extra money in your back line, which demands even more rookies up forward. Look, I think that you just got to get the balance right. We'll have a look at what rookies are going to be available. I think that you're looking at four or five midfield premiums. The sides that I've seen with six midfield premiums and say three forward rookies on the ground probably look a bit imbalanced and a bit over priced in the midfield. So I think that you'd be looking a little bit in that direction. So maybe it forces you to put two rookies on the ground up forward, say maybe Clark and Hogan or Salem up there. But yeah, I think that probably three is too many.
Something not to forget is having three bench players in the midfield doesn't just mean we have an extra moneymaker there. That cover should be exploited or pushed to the limit if we can, because it's easier to take more rookie risk with three backup dudes than it is in the forward line. So I think running three forward rookies, like you said, Mark, with only two backup covers seems a lot riskier than having a more balanced setup and probably having two forward rookies. And I think a lot of people are probably leaning toward that at the moment and probably at this point in time in agreeance with that. Apart from that, we're all loaded up, though, with the expensive guys, aren't we, Mark?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, most of my sides so far have actually had only one forward rookie on the ground because there's just so many forward premiums that I want to pick. So I can understand that I'm probably going to be forced to have to put an extra one up forward depending on how the NAB goes. Now, we have got a question from Stephen Ben asking whether I was joking about Cooney. Do you think I was joking about Cooney?
I hope you were joking about Cooney, so I guess that's a yes.
Okay.
No, you're not.
No, I am. I was and I am. I could definitely make a case for picking him, okay. Like a genuine one.
Let's not push it, hey? So just to wrap up, Mark, we're not actually going to talk about the rookies yet. So that's actually coming together with the final NAB Cup review show. So that'll be one show together with the rookies.
There's not much point talking about the rookies until we see some exposed form and have a bit more of an idea about what best 22s might look like.
So the only two other cheap guys to talk about, probably Mitch Clark, who we have mentioned before, and we have said if he's playing round one, then you'd probably lock him into your side and maybe even starting. And the other guy we have had questions about is Karnezis. So he moved over from Brisbane, hasn't really been able to crack it into the side and get a gig there. So as a result, 122,000 is a starting price. Yay or nay for you, or wait and see?
Definitely wait and see.
Okay, I think we'll leave it at that. It's been a long show, Mark. So just to finish, next week we're going to the Rocks. So if you've got any questions about the Rockmen, remember to head over to facebook.com/supercoachcoach or at supercoachcoach and ask us those questions there. And again, thank you to you guys. We've hit 1,500 Facebook fans, which we're very, very, very happy about. And when we reach 3,000 Twitter followers, we'll be giving out an AFL live pass. So look out for that and thank you guys heaps.
Hopefully we've been some help tonight with the forwards. That's quite an interesting topic. I think I've learned a bit from you tonight, Marcus.
Ranked leagues, open leagues, supercoachcoach.com.au. Details are there. Supercoach group vet applications are also there. Thank you so much, guys. It's been incredible response on social media throughout the preseason. The games haven't even started yet. So thank you to you guys and to Mark. Been a great show. Love talking about the forwards.
Yep.
And hopefully see you next week. Pumped up for the Rocks, Mark. It's going to be a difficult show, so do your research.
I will be all week, mate. I'm hitting the books tonight.
All right. See you guys. Catch you next week.
See ya. Let's get crazy.